Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. On today's program, we'll hear from Rachel Jacobson, founder and executive director of FilmStreams, Omaha's nonprofit cinema, and Casey Logan, the deputy director of FilmStreams. They'll talk about the 10th anniversary of the theater and about the renovation and upcoming reopening of Omaha's historic Dundee Theater. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, September 21st, 2017, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. During their talk, Rachel and Casey will refer to a floor plan of the new Dundee Theater. You can view this floor plan by going to their website, filmstreams.org, and by clicking Dundee Theater Campaign. Here now to introduce the program is Ann Peterson, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
Today we're thrilled to have the leadership of FilmStreams here as they celebrate their 10th anniversary and begin a new chapter in Dundee. Rachel Jacobson is the founder and executive director of FilmStreams, which, as I believe we mostly know, that's a nonprofit organization devoted to enhancing the cultural environment of Omaha through the presentation and discussion of film as an art form. Rachel moved back to Omaha in 2005 after 5 years of living and working in New York City to begin FilmStreams. Casey Logan is the deputy director of FilmStreams. He was born and raised here in Omaha, attended the University of Missouri School of Journalism, and has spent part of his career in that film or in that field. He joined FilmStreams in 2006 as the organization conducted its startup capital campaign and prepared to build its two-screen location. We're thrilled to have them, and we'll begin with Rachel.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thank you so much for having us. We're so happy to be here. I was remembering the first time I spoke to this club was before we even opened the Ruth Sokoloff Theater downtown, and Gary was reminding me that Dale Munson put together the program, and he was so enthusiastic, and I just really appreciate everyone in Omaha who has believed in this mission before we even had anything together. That's the only way we've been able to accomplish what we have, and we're at a really exciting point in our history. I kind of want to talk a little bit about the organization in general to begin, and a little bit about our history and what we do at the Ruth Sokoloff Theater in North Downtown before we get into the Dundee stuff, which I know everyone's very excited to hear about. As Anne said, our mission has always been from the beginning to enhance the cultural environment of Omaha, the Omaha Council Bluffs area, through the presentation and discussion of film as an art form. And everything we do comes back to film. All of our programs have some sort of film element at the Ruth Sokoloff Theater. Like she said, we founded the organization in 2005 after I had moved home from New York City. And we opened the Ruth Sokoloff Theater in July 2007. It was part of Saddle Creek Records Complex, where they had their office space and open slowdown. We got to build it from the ground up, and we got to build really the perfect space for our programs, our two-screen cinema, which has a big house of 206 seats that's stadium seating, and a small house of 96 seats. And it's a really nice space for what we do. Since opening, we've had more than 500,000 attendees to our programs, and we've presented more than 1,600 different films in Omaha in the last 10 years. So that's pretty exciting. The key to our mission is that we have diversified income streams. I can talk about that a little bit more, but you know, we really believe in being a nonprofit as more than just a tax status. That our 501c3 really means that we are a mission-based organization, and everything that we do needs to come to that as our bottom line. However, we also understand that we need to be a sustainable business. So it's always about kind of walking that path between staying really really relevant, and then really being this community-based, mission-based organization. And the way that we do that is that we have a membership program, we have an individual giving program, we get a lot of generous support from local foundations, a little bit of government support, a little bit of corporate support. Having those diversified income streams is really important to our sustainability and the fact that we're able to make decisions based on quality films and based on their artistic content and their social relevance rather than that box office bottom line that commercial theaters have to focus on. So our new release program is kind of what we devote the most screen time to. And since 2007, we have presented close to 500 first-run American independents, foreign films, and documentaries. So that's really bridging a gap that's long kept some of the most artistically significant films from throughout the world from reaching a big screen audience in Omaha. So we're really, really proud of that program, and we're excited to about the expansion that we're going to be able to have with that. And, you know, films like Moonlight, we were the first to premiere Moonlight in Omaha, and as most of you probably know, it went on to win the Academy Award, the Best Picture. So we're really proud to play like independents and international films, and especially documentaries that have social significance. We also really, our mission is about celebrating the history of film as well. And so we do that by playing classics on the big screen. And this is, you know, everyone can watch a movie on their iPhone now, but we really believe in the theater experience as how these films were meant to be seen and how the directors intended them to be seen, and that the experience of watching them with an audience, hearing strangers laugh next to you in the dark is such a powerful thing, and just being able to see it as big as it is on the screen and proper sound and everything else, you really experience the films as they're meant to be, and you don't get that on an iPhone. So we're proud to have presented over 800 classics from throughout film history, and we also show 35mm. So we have reel-to-reel 35mm projection in both of our theaters, so that allows us to borrow prints from the Academy Archive and Harvard Film Archives, different archives throughout the country, because they're not making 35mm anymore. Everything's digital now. So it's pretty special to be able to continue to show on 35, which is only a small percentage of our films anymore. Most of the films are coming out on DCP.
Yeah, and I'll chime in and talk a little bit about our community development program. So collaborations have been a really important part of what we do from the very beginning. To date, we've presented over 200 different collaborative screenings with other nonprofits and community groups in the area. We have an entire program, our community development program, that provides quarterly opportunities for other nonprofits to propose films and discussions. We have a great committee of film enthusiasts and civic leaders that review those proposals and then approve those that match our mission of presenting and discussing film as an art form and seem like a really good fit for our partners. We've collaborated with so many different organizations. Just this year, we've either presented or scheduled more than 20 different screenings and discussions as part of this program with organizations as diverse as Dardry HQ, Joslyn Art Museum, the Meyer Foundation for Disabilities, Outlook Nebraska, most recently UNO's Women's and Gender Studies program. It's a terrific program, and in particular when you think about social service organizations that are doing phenomenal work in our community but don't necessarily have access to a forum to talk about their work and their the challenges that they face. Film is a fantastic medium and catalyst for bringing those types of conversations together. And so it's been a really great program for us, and I think for the community. And then additionally, we We prevent a variety of special programs throughout the year. We've done more than 100 different screenings with visiting filmmakers, bringing filmmakers to our community to connect with our audiences. We've done more than 24 screenings of silent classics with live musical scores. We do an annual local filmmakers showcase that celebrates work by artists right here in Nebraska and Iowa, and other programs. We're averaging about one event per week that has some form of added live content. And so that's something that is pretty significant about our programming week in and week out.
Another program that we're very proud of is our daytime education program. Kids are bused to the theater to see films and discuss them afterwards. And last school year, we served over 4,500 students, which was a 49% increase from the previous year. And we're so proud. I went to Central High School, and I love that the classes walk down from Central High School to see these films. But we serve kids from as far away as Nebraska City and Gretna, and you know, all over the community, and private schools, public schools. Everyone comes, and the great thing is too, the films are so diverse, and so these diverse schools that aren't usually in a room together get to watch a film together about immigration, or about or even a classic film like The Great Dictator with Charlie Chaplin, and have a conversation and hear from their peers from different schools who they don't normally hear from. And I think the really special thing about film is that when you watch it with an audience, you're all walking in with different experiences, and then you all experience the same thing for an hour and a half. So what a great springboard for conversation and dialogue. We offered 39 different screenings and guided discussions last year. We're going to offer even more this year, and 41 different schools were represented last year, which is really exciting. And part of the impetus for this growth has been that we hired our first education director, Diana Martinez, last summer. She's a PhD in media studies from the University of Oregon, and so she is teaching kids how to look at film as an art form, how to think about it critically, and everything else. And she's really been able to take the program to a new level. She also launched a brand new program called Courses that's an adult education course. So you can sign up and you can come 5 Sundays in a row and watch a film with Diana. And then she leads a discussion afterwards and teaches you, how to look at, the decisions that the director's making, and how to think critically about it, how to think about it in terms of cultural context. And you get to do this, with 20 other film lovers. And it's pretty exciting. We're just about to launch one that's a horror film series, like a history of horror. And so you come 5 Sundays and watch a horror movie and talk about it with Diana. So that's really exciting. As I said, it's really important that we get support from additional sources beyond box office so that we can really prioritize this social stuff and this fun stuff. And so we've been very fortunate to have great support. And last year, more than 59% of our revenue came from contribution. So it's very, very important to us. And obviously, we have membership dues, we have concessions, revenue. Our membership program has grown significantly over the years, and we're hoping that it'll grow more with this launch of the second venue. Members get half-price tickets at the box office, and they get 20% off at concessions. And we have over 3,000 members currently, and hoping to grow that a bit. And now we'll get to talking about this really exciting opportunity that came along a couple of years ago. I think a lot of us here in Omaha had been wondering about the fate of the Dundee Theater. It closed for renovations in 2013, and it was the oldest operating neighborhood cinema in town. And so many people have special memories of the place. And, the one screen isn't a functional business model for a commercial cinema anymore. And so we were very fortunate that the Sherwood Foundation decided to step in and buy the cinema, and they bought the surrounding area in order to donate it to Film Streams. And we have been working on the building project and the capital campaign in order to launch our second venue for the last 2.5 years about. And so it's been a really exciting process. It's a perfect, we celebrated the 10th anniversary of the Rusak Left Theater last summer. This is a perfect next step for us. When we did our strategic plan, that planning process back in 2013, we talked a lot about the fact that the two biggest complaints that we got in our annual survey were that we weren't bringing enough of the foreign films, documentaries, and independents to town, and that we weren't showing them for long enough. So we weren't holding them over long enough. Well, with two screens, you can't solve both of those problems without expanding screens. So we knew we wanted more screens, and then we also knew that the Dundee Theater was a precious thing to Omaha and something about the history of the city and the history of film in this city, so that would fit with our mission in an extraordinary way. So we're really excited to be the stewards of this this amazing place.
And so a lot of what we've talked about so far is, you know, is our mission, and of course film as an art form is at the center of that, and community plays a big part of that. And when you think of the nexus of film as art and community in Omaha, you know, the Dundee Theater is that place. And so this is where I like to kind of geek out a little bit on the history of the building. You know, when you just think just in terms of the history of the medium that building has seen. So the Dundee opened in December 1925. It was designed by the firm of John and Alan McDonald, so who, of course, designed significant buildings in Omaha, including the Joslyn Art Museum. Kind of a popular misconception that the Dundee was later converted into a movie theater. When it opened in December 1925, it was actually showing movies from the very beginning. So what would have been happening at that time? 1925, the Dundee opened. It was in the silent era. 4 years later, sound arrives. And so sound equipment is installed at the Dundee, and it ushers an entirely new era for the medium. 1938, so just about a decade later, a really big renovation project happens at the Dundee, and it's kind of interesting to look back at that time because a lot of the things that we're talking about right now were the things that were being talked about as they were leading up to this 1938 renovation. So it's, you know, new seats, new sounds, state-of-the-art projection and sound, sound and projection technology. You've got this. You go from this, you know, smaller, you know, but classic vertical Dundee placemaking sign to the same idea, but much bigger, a kind of a grander marquee. So what would have been happening around this time for the next couple of decades at the Dundee? You know, it would have been showing the films that you would expect. Films would be coming out of Hollywood, serials, you know, kind of popular fare. So that would have taken us through kind of the next couple decades at the Dundee. And then something interesting happens in 1963. You know, all the while the Dundee kind of went through different owners and management. 1963, it gets rebranded as an art house. It reopens with Federico Fellini's 8.5. So in 1963 in Omaha, you could see this weird, wild, you know, film from Italy that's of course become this masterpiece of the art form on a big screen in Omaha at the Dundee Theater. It's 1965, so just a couple years later, kind of next big milestone at the Dundee. You can probably guess, some of you may have even seen The Sound of Music when it showed at the Dundee. Opens in 1965, has a historic 118-week run that lasts into 1967. 1970, it rebrands again as an art house. You could see the latest European art films. You could see classic Citizen Kane brought back to a big screen at the Dundee Theater. 1980s, the most recent owners of the building, Denny and Janet Moran, purchased the Dundee, brought it all the way to 2013. And, of course, by the time it closed for renovations, the Dundee was also showing American independence and foreign films. They tended to be the larger independents that would be out at any given time, the well-marketed. They got, you know, they built an audience for some special programming, in particular the Midnights. And so that brought us to 2013. So all of that is to say that that is a lot of film history that has taken place in that building. And of course, you know, during that time, generations of Omahans experienced film as an art form in that building. So we look at it as, you know, truly a significant landmark and one that has to be saved and one that we're really looking forward to bringing back to our community. To do that takes some pretty serious design considerations of how we can take a building that opened in 1925, single screen cinema, and create a sustainable operation for generations to come. And so Rachel can kind of talk about some of those considerations.
Yeah, so we've been working with Allie Porter Makedo Architecture on the theater, and the very first thing that became very apparent was those of you that went to the movies there remember that it was a little scary on Dodge Street to enter the building. Having those doors right there and the narrow sidewalk was kind of an experience. And, you know, it can be a fun thrill, but but anymore, you know, safety is definitely an important consideration. So immediately we knew we wanted to move the entrance to the north. The way that we also knew that we wanted to make sure that we preserved the original screen, but like I was saying before, a one screen theater isn't that viable as a business model, and you know, having a 300 seat house is really exciting to bring. You know, now since we have, remember, 206 and 96 downtown. To bring a lot of the bigger independents and foreign films and documentaries to town. But we thought this would be a great opportunity to expand our mission even further by having a tiny theater there, too. And so so we took on the space to the west that used to be the old Dundee Bar and Grill in order to basically create a lobby and to create a place for community. And that also gave us the entrance on the north side, and it gave us an opportunity to have a second screen there. So so you can see this is kind of the site plan for the development. So all of the shots on 50th Street are all staying there. They're all going to be our new neighbors, and we're very excited about that. Parking has always been a little bit of an issue in the neighborhood. So the way that the architects have kind of dealt with that is that actually that east lot has always been part of this development, and really we're just actually making the parking lot a little bit more cohesive so that you can drive into the east lot and choose to park there as well. And that effectively doubles the amount of spaces that you have available. Obviously, there's a lot of street parking in the neighborhood, and Orbitz, the new bus rapid transit system, is going to be stopping right up the street at Goldberg's. So we're really excited about the potential for people to walk to the theater, to take transit, and to bike. But I think during the winter months, I'm hopeful that there'll be ample parking for our community. Of course, it's an urban environment, and we want to acknowledge that and be a part of that. And so we were thinking about the layout. So we had to do a few things. All of the light blue space you see on the top of the screen is kind of an addition. And so you enter on the north side, and you'll walk past, sorry about that, you'll walk past a little patio area. And we're actually kind of thinking of that as a little pocket park. We're kind of calling it that because we really want it to be accessible to anyone from the neighborhood to kind of hang out in there. And then so you'll enter on the north side and you'll go to the box office, and then we have our concessions next in that little entryway there. And then it really opens up into this kind of community lobby space. And we have a restaurant partner in there, Kitchen Table, which is operating its first location on 14th and Farnham, is going to open their second location there, Kitchen Table Central. And so they're basically running that bar area and that kitchen space, and they'll be selling very similar food to what they have downtown, really delicious sandwiches. They were just named the best sandwich in Nebraska, actually, in a magazine article recently. And I just think they have fantastic, really fresh food. And then we'll share this lobby space. So people, whether they're coming to the movies or whether they're eating at the restaurant, will be in there. And we're really kind of thinking about how that'll create like some wonderful community interactions, you know, people hanging out after and before movies and discussing them and meeting people. And then the micro cinema that you see to the west in the dark blue, that has 25 seats, and that will actually become the home of courses, the adult education program that I described. It will also be able to show more of the smaller films that I was talking about, some of the experimental documentaries, Middle Eastern films, South American films, some of the great Korean Asian films that are coming out lately. We're really excited to bring more of those to town and have it in this space, that in this really intimate, nice room. And then some of the time, you know, people might be able to grab a sandwich. There's going to be desks in there since it's going to be the home to courses. So you might be able to grab a sandwich and just hang out in there. And we might just have trailers on a loop or short films or something that you can go in and out. And you see the original theater looks a lot like it did originally. It will have the slope floor. We're going to have about 300 seats in there, which is quite a bit fewer. But we expanded the restrooms a little bit towards the back. The lobby is going to be basically the same layout as it was historically. And that'll be where we'll kind of honor a little bit of the history of the space. The marquee and the signage, did you want to speak to that a little
bit? So you saw earlier kind of some of the historic photos, and that in particular that photo that was from 1941, it was kind of the inspiration for returning that vertical Dundee sign. At the same time, we're going to have we'll have a digital marquee that'll be along Dodge. Big part of that is so that our staff isn't having to stand on the Dodge to change the marquee, but the idea there is to have a really classic, very traditional look to the signage that will be there. And then you'll see if you're heading west, you're going to see some additional signage that's kind of painted and kind of a fun film neon sign that's going to be kind of directing people towards the new entrance, and also some painted signage for some of our surrounding neighbors.
We're really excited about what this is just going to do on Dodge Street. You know, all of this space where Kitchen Table is, there will be an entrance on Dodge Street where Kitchen Table is and where the lobby is. But it's just, all of this was bricked up before, and now it's all going to be transparent glass. We also have a skylight in the main entrance, and you can kind of see that here where you're walking in towards the patio. So there's going to be just a significant amount of natural light in the space, which I think should be so great and just a really pleasant experience and a place that people want to be. The main house, you can see, is pretty classic, but we're also really paying a lot of attention. We're working with a group called Boston Light and Sound to make sure that we have the best, most modern sound and just a technical experience of seeing a film. The micro cinema is, you know, going to be this really precious little intimate space that I think people will enjoy watching movies in there as well. This is just a rendering of the lobby space where Kitchen Table is going to be. You know, our concessions will still be open. And then we also have a film bookstore in there. We're calling it Katie's Video. And so we'll be selling different film books and Criterion videos. And the other thing that's really nice about having this lobby space is that we're going to be able to, when we have filmmakers in town, we could have a special party where you pay a little bit of a higher ticket price and you come and you watch the film. They do a Q&A afterwards, and then there's a party in the lobby where you have an opportunity to do like a meet and greet.
Along the way, we've been working with some of our new neighbors at Dundee Digital to document the renovation progress. And so we're posting those on our Facebook page. So this is a good spot to see some of these come together, and emailing those out to our people that are signed up for our e-newsletter. And you can do that at filmstreams.org.
Yeah, so we launched the public phase of our capital campaign in April at our gala feature at the Holland Center, where Alexander Payne interviewed Julianne Moore. And since beginning our capital campaign last year, we have we had a $7.5 million cash goal, and we only have about $150,000 of that $7.5 million left to raise. But we have to raise this last $150,000 because we have a match from our challenge grant from the Peter Kiewit Foundation and the Doherty Foundation. Each of them gave $500,000. Saying that we had to reach our $7.5 million goal in order to get this last $1 million. So this last little, it doesn't sound like much compared to the $7.5 million, but this last little $150,000 is really important. So I really encourage everyone to go to filmstreams.org/Dundee to support the capital campaign. And that not only gives us the renovation, it also gives us a little bit of a ramp up for operating so that we have a little bit of a cushion to figure out what it's going to take to operate these two venues. We've had half a year's operating in the bank from the beginning, so now our operating budget is growing significantly. It gives us some room for that. And it's really going to put us in a good place financially. We're going to own both our buildings, so that'll be great.
So we're going to open it up to questions, and of course I always, because I'm here, I get the first question, but I'd love to know, Rachel, if what you envisioned 10 years ago, how much of that has come to fruition and how much has changed over the course of the 10 years?
Well, that's a great question, Ann. I think what I envisioned originally was so much more modest than what we've been able to accomplish. I mean, when Rob and Jason and I were first talking about collaborating on having a concert venue and a film space, we were talking about a warehouse where we would have folding chairs and we would show movies during the day and then have rock shows at night and move out the folding chairs. And I mean, it was very, the community support that we've been able to have for our vision has really allowed us to do so much more than I ever thought possible. I mean, we started with an $875,000 budget in 2007. Next year with the Dundee, we're projecting that our budget will be about $2.4 million. And with two venues, I mean, we're an actual institution. It's so exciting. And I think, you know, thinking about the one venue was really important in the beginning. And then, I mean, I never imagined that we would also take on Dundee. But the more that we thought about it, it just made sense for us as this established nonprofit film organization that knows how to run a movie theater, that we would be the ones that would need to take it on. And it's been great for the organization. We've been able to expand our staff, and it's really put us in a place where we've had like a whole new relevance, I think, to a lot of people.
The diversity of films that you play at the theater now, and I would imagine the expansion at the Dundee, everything from Chinese foreign films in Chinese to Academy Award winning. How do you like to see that division, or do you have a percentage, or do you have an algorithm that you see this works, this doesn't work, we put this in? How does that all work?
Yeah, you know, it's we don't have percentages, especially with the foreign films. I mean, but or the first run films, because a lot of that kind of depends on what's happening in the world and what films are coming out and what filmmakers are making great work. I think the whole idea that you start with is that whether the film has a huge marketing budget or barely any at all, We think that it deserves to be seen and deserves a screen. There's a lot of conversations about diversity in media and the importance of different voices being behind the camera and being able to direct films. And so we really try to pay attention to, you know, if a film is by a women director, we might be a little bit more likely to book that film because it might be a little less likely to find screen time elsewhere. And so, I think it's just like constantly going back to that mission, sort of staying tapped into that national and international film world. I just got back from the Toronto International Film Festival last week, and I'm fortunate to have a lot of friends and colleagues, you know, in the art house world and who are doing film curation. And so it's less... It's a little bit subjective, but we always look at the end of the year and say, well, only 3% of the films that grossed, you know, in the top 500 at the box office were directed by women, and 25% of the ones that we played were directed by women. And, you know, so as long as the decisions that we're making are resulting in those kinds of statistics, we're pretty happy with what we're doing.
So some of us love history, and looking at the Dundee, what did you find there? Any fun finds, artifacts, old things that, you know, you've taken it down to the studs and building it back up, but there had to have been something there.
What did we find there?
There wasn't a ton, and, you know, it's interesting. We did find there's a projector base that's probably from 1925 that, like, weighs, like, a ton. And we just had to keep it, even though it's not very functional. And so so there's that. There's, like, original doors that are pretty cool. You know, the fact that we're able to restore the molding is fun. There was like a note in the projection booth about the run of Sound of Music that was kind of cool. There's a lot of dusty old trailers, 35 millimeter trailers that we took out of the theater. But I wish we could say like we found this amazing treasure, but
not so much.
Not as much as we thought. We thought we might.
Omaha is considered fairly overbuilt in the movie theater. We have a lot of screens in town, and now some of them are also showing these first run independent films. Is there a concern that there's too much availability of that, too much competition for a business model like Film Streams to go up against large theater companies with independent theaters?
I think our business model really has the advantage in that scenario because, because we can choose, we're so well supported that we can choose to show a film that we know is going to make $1,000 in a week. You know, because we believe that it deserves a screen in town. Whereas, the commercial theaters, they might need to fill screens, but they don't necessarily have that level of flexibility. And, you know, when we think about competition, our mission is about enhancing the cultural environment of Omaha through film. So it doesn't really matter if we're playing those films or if they're playing at Alamo Drafthouse. You know, if there's more demand for it and so much that the commercial theaters are picking them up, then we're doing our job pretty well, and that's great. You know, that's exciting.
Omaha likes to think of itself as being unique in many different ways. Are we unique with this type of theater, the Film Streams? Are there other communities that are doing similar theaters?
Yeah. So we're part of a group called Art House Convergence that's basically the national group of mostly nonprofit, all mission-based, community-supported theaters. And there's more, we have kind of been part of, when we opened in 2007, I would say that is that's when Art House Convergence and this sort of movement throughout the country of movie theaters becoming nonprofit really started to happen more and more. And especially the version that we have that's more of a top down, I guess you could say, version of it, where we say, okay, because a lot of the theaters are like the Dundee, where they're commercial theaters that were operating in a shoestring. They were supplementing a little bit of revenue with gifts from people who care about them in order to have some more flexibility to play what they want to play. Whereas we, like, said from the beginning, okay, we're going to be about the mission. We're going to be about, we're not going to apologize for being a nonprofit. That's going to be who we are, and we're definitely seeing more and more of that. There's actually an organization called Film Scene in Iowa City, and I've been talking to the founders from the very beginning, and it's they basically used our exact model in order to start up. So you're seeing more and more throughout the country, and there's been a lot of traditional ones too.
How large is the viewing public for the types of films that play at FilmStream's original and then Dundee? You know, I mean, as you said, anybody can watch a film on their iPhone, iPad, at home, Netflix, everything else. So, and the competition is not just other theaters, it's all of these devices. So how do you, how large is that audience and how do you attract them?
I mean, I think we've always had a core audience. We've always had the people who get what we do and love it, and they're going to come all the time. So what we're constantly thinking about and working on is how do you develop new audiences, and how do you bring people to the movies who don't consider themselves to be cinephiles or don't even consider themselves to be movie lovers. And so we do that. We kind of have these, we kind of think of them as like audience generating engines. And the community development program is one of those. Like, by partnering with all sorts of different organizations, we're bringing new constituencies to the theater all the time. And not all of them are going to come back, but a lot of them do. A lot of them come because they support the organization that we're partnering with, and then they come back again. Another thing is that we have been, since 2009, offering free movies for students on the first Monday of every month. We think it's really important to cultivate that new audience who's most likely to watch stuff on their iPhones. And so that has continually generated a new audience. It's something that we're thinking about all the time. And
yeah, I think as a nonprofit, like a mission-based organization, like part of what we're always like trying to do is we're kind of creating a community within the community. And so that's, you know, that's the people that are already involved with Film Streams. There are members trying to grow that, you know, people that come to the theater all the time, volunteers. I think as people get involved, and those include our community partners as well. And so as people get more involved, I think kind of encouraging that engagement and that feeling of a community within a community is a big part of that. And a lot of that has to do with programs with some form of live content, whether it's an introduction to a film or a discussion afterwards, just to kind of, you know, encourage the conversation that can happen around films. And that's one of the things that's I think is really exciting about the Dundee. It's going to be a fantastic place to go and see a movie, but on your way in, on your way out, you're gonna pass by, you know, three different spots where you can sit down with, you know, friends and family and talk about what you just saw or talk about your day. And so it becomes even more than that. It becomes a real like community place. And I think that's especially important because that, you know, that's the sort of experience that you're not going to have, you know, watching Netflix on your iPad, which of course you can do, but it's still a very different experience.
Is there a concern with the new theater that you'll lose audience at the original theater? And how do you plan to guard against that?
Well, I think it's inevitable that we'll have a smaller audience downtown than we have. You know, we have been attracting up to 60,000 people downtown. I would imagine because we're naturally going to be playing a lot of the bigger films at Dundee that... you know, our goal is to reach 100,000 audience members in a year. I'm imagining that probably 60,000 of those will be, you know, at Dundee, and maybe 40 will be downtown. But we're going to be pretty deliberate about trying to make sure that people, that we're still attracting audiences downtown. That 200-seat house is amazing for a community development program because you get much bigger than that, and it's not a very good room for dialogue. We're also going to continue to host our education screenings there. And I mean, it's going to be different programming at the two spots. So I think what drives a lot of people to see a movie sometimes is the place, but a lot of the time it's just the content. And so hopefully people will just be driven by whatever film we're showing and make the decision on the venue through that.
Are there alternate uses for the theaters that you might entertain or explore for meetings or businesses holding sessions that need AV, but or is that too far off your mission and that's not something you want to go?
Well, we've always offered the theater for rentals. You know, we're open 365 days a year, so it's a little difficult, but we don't start showing movies until 4 o'clock, generally on weekdays, except for Thursdays. We usually have matinees on Thursdays. So as long as it doesn't conflict with the education program or it can't really be on a weekend unless it's early in the morning. So as long as it doesn't conflict with our programming, we're certainly open to that, like to people renting the theater for presentations and everything else.
You have always been a good option for local artists to show their productions, both Nebraska and Iowa. We're fortunate to have a couple fairly well-known individuals. Alexander Payne might come to mind. With a new movie out, plan to launch the Dundee with his new movie, or what are the opening plans and how might he play a part?
Yeah, that has been a huge motivating thing for Lundross, who's our contractors, because we have said from the beginning that it's really important. Alexander Payne has served on our board since fall of 2005. So since even before we opened the theater, and he's very passionate about our mission. Also, by far the best grossing and most popular films that we've ever shown have been The Descendants and Nebraska. So it has been really important to us to try to get the Dundee open before downsizing opens. And so we're hoping to be able to announce that in the next couple of months that we'll be able to play Downsizing at Dundee.
When do you plan to open and what special events might you have around that occasion?
Well, it's a little bit of a moving target, obviously, because of construction. Our contractors aren't totally comfortable with us like announcing a date right now. Right now, we're aiming to open in late November, early December. Downsizing is opening wide on December 22nd, and so we would like to get open before then. So that's really the hard deadline.
A Christmas opening.
Well,
or pre.
Yeah, hopefully a few weeks before that, because it's actually opening in New York and LA a couple of weeks before that. So we're hoping that we might be able to get a little bit earlier because we know people there.
So where are the growth opportunities beside the acquisition of Dundee? What's down the road, even another 5 years? Where do you see yourself going?
I think our community development program has really great potential because the way that we've established that program and the way that we have created a model for genuine collaborations, I think, is really important. And also, it just it's just so key to our mission to show the relevance of film, by topic. And so the ways that we can expand that program is really important. Our education program, the vision for an education program originally was that every kid in Omaha sees the French 60s film 400 Blows before they graduate high school. I think media literacy is really more important than ever right now. Just getting kids to think about the media they're encountering and where it's coming from and what the intent is the basis for our education program. And so I think we'll just really be focusing on on those programs, on bettering them, on reaching wider audiences, and continuing to do what we do well.
Thank you so very much for joining us today at the forum, Rachel Jacobson and Casey Logan with the Film Streams and the Dundee Theater. Thank you again, everyone, for attending, and good day.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. We've heard from Rachel Jacobson, founder and executive director of Film Streams, Omaha's nonprofit cinema, and Casey Logan, the deputy director of Film Streams. They have talked about the 10th anniversary of the theater and about the renovation and upcoming reopening of Omaha's historic Dundee Theater. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, September 21st, 2017, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be this Thursday, October 19th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speaker will be Gene Stothert, the mayor of the city of Omaha, who was recently reelected to a second term in office. She'll talk about the many successes of her first term and her hopes for a second term just as, if not more, successful. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.